Our reading today has been from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 15, starting to read at verse 21. Let's pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the thoughts of all of our hearts be pleasing to you this day and always. Amen. What do you do when you find a bit of scripture that you don't really like? Do you get stuck and refuse to read any more? Do you fall out with the Bible over it and find a different book to lead your life by? Or do you skip past it and read on to something nice? Perhaps you pretend it isn't there and remind yourself of your favourite verses instead. Maybe you have a different strategy altogether. Well, I have to confess to you today that I don't like this story about Jesus. I don't like that he ignores the woman. It seems rather mean. When he does speak about her, he's rude. He just gave a generous picnic to a crowd of disorganised people who hadn't packed lunch for the day out. And yet he refuses to heal this poor woman's child because she's not a Jew. This isn't the Jesus I know and love, the man who welcomes all and brings healing and wholeness wherever he goes. It troubled me. But ignoring it and pretending it isn't there is not the way forward. Acknowledging my doubts and dissatisfaction and prayerfully looking closer is for me a better route. So let's take a closer look together and see what we find. As the account begins, we find that Jesus has gone on holiday to Tyre and Sidon. He's away from home on a mini break by the coast, some 40 miles away from Galilee. In recent days, he's worked hard. He made a blind man see, the lame walk, calmed a storm and walked on water. He's fed 5,000 men with a little boy's picnic. And he's told some fantastic stories. But although his teaching is popular with the crowds, he has really upset the religious establishment. I guess after being pursued by these enthusiastic Jewish crowds who were captivated by his miracles, he needed to get away to a place where no one recognised him. We all need to take time away to rest and recover, to reflect and refocus our vision, to remember who we really are and reconnect with who we're called to be. If it's good enough for Jesus, it's good enough for us. Do take time this summer to rest and enjoy the company of friends and family, to be still in God's presence and ask him what he would lead you to in the year ahead. Lots of things are good activities, but not everything is good for us to do now. We may have done something in the past, but is it what God asks of us in the future? These are good questions. We cannot possibly do everything. There's a great deal of need in the world and just as much opportunity for busyness. We need to have a plumb line. A sense of what specifically God is calling us to do, both as individuals and as a church. It's possible to be so busy that you wear yourself out doing unnecessary things, when maybe it would be better to do just a few things, the things that God is asking of you. Well, I wonder if you know what God is calling you to do for him today. I wonder if we know as a church family what God is calling us to do in this new season. We should be praying, as Jesus did, that God will lead us and make clear the way ahead. What to do and what not to do. Jesus knew that he was called to announce God's kingdom principally to the people of Israel. This desperate lady was Syrophoenician, or Canaanite to use the Old Testament language, so not a Jew at all. Although she calls out to him with increasing desperation, Jesus says nothing. Perhaps you identify with the pain she feels when God seems silent and unresponsive to your prayers. There is no easy answer to that problem. This poor woman is in anguish, desperate that Jesus should heal her child, and yet Jesus says nothing. Not yes, not no, but nothing. We could speak for hours on this subject, but if you're looking for a good summer read, a book to explore it further, I recommend God on Mute by Pete Gregg. He writes with humility and humour and a depth of understanding from deep personal suffering that is so encouraging. On the answer to prayer forces us to admit that God alone can be our helper and our refuge. In some situations, we've run out of resources ourselves and only He can provide the answer. In humility, this woman falls at His feet in desperate worship. She calls Him Lord and begs Him to help her. She knows she has no right to ask. She acknowledges Him as Son of David, a Jewish title of significance reserved for their Messiah, their Redeemer. And yet she knows her need is great, and so she continues to call on Him. Although Jesus initially points out she's not one of His people, she doesn't argue the case. She doesn't say she feels she deserves to be blessed. She simply persists in stating again her daughter's desperate need. Jesus doesn't answer any of our prayers because we deserve it. He answers because He is Lord and He loves us. The Pharisees, who are the people that Jesus knows He's been called to, have rejected Him. They did not accept the bread of life He offered. This woman, aware of her unworthiness, reaches gratefully for the crumbs that they have rejected. Charles Spurgeon, 19th century preacher and passionate prayer, said, "True prayer is an inventory of needs, a catalogue of necessities, an exposure of our secret wounds, a revelation of hidden poverty." Unanswered prayer does not mean that God will not grant our requests. It may mean that He has something greater to give than the practical request that brings us to our knees. As we, like the woman, press further into Him, persisting in our requests, we become more deeply aware of our need of His grace. For every work of God can be traced back to fervent prayer. 1 Peter 1 verses 6 and 7 remind us, "Though now for a little while you have to suffer grief of all kinds of trials, these have come so that your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory and honour when Jesus Christ is revealed." Sometimes God's plan is not what we expect. Like the woman, we may not even look particularly impressive as it unfolds. And it is rather humbling. But as we persist in prayer, healing is brought to those that need it, and we must swallow our pride. Like the woman, we can only cling to Jesus' feet, and sometimes the outcome does not take the form we expected. In a sentence, Jesus rewards her persistence with healing for her daughter and an affirmation of her faith that He gives to no one else in the Gospels. "Woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted." Now, I'm sure she was not feeling particularly impressive as she knelt, tear-stained in the dust at His feet. Possibly you too feel unimpressive, kneeling dishevelled, worn out, powerless and desperate at Jesus' feet with your burdens. This account invites us to have faith, to persist in prayer and let Jesus reveal the need in our hearts. It invites us to let him choose how to answer our faithful prayers, for in his grace he knows what real blessing looks like for each one of us. So, as I reread this uncomfortable story, I choose not to be like the disciples who simply wanted a quiet life, an expedient, quick answer to a problem that would allow them to return to their holiday, their own agenda. But rather, I choose to be like Jesus, to take time to really know what God has called me to, and to be like this Canaanite woman, aware of her unworthiness, but determined to pursue God for his blessing and to let him decide what that should look like. I invite you to join me today. Amen. Let's pray. Sovereign Lord, please give us the faith to ask for your help and the humility to receive it on your terms. Amen.